Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, welcoming you to my podcast. I release podcast episodes for each new and full moon, occasionally for other special astrological events, but generally the new and full moons, which are my focus. My website, risingmoonastrology.com, has information about the readings I offer as a consulting astrologer, and some other information about my background and astrology in general. I'm also on Instagram as Rising Moon Astrology. And I have a newsletter if you'd like to receive this information in your email inbox. The music that you hear is composed and performed by flautist Suzanne Tang. The track is called September Angels, and her music is available through magnatunes.com. It's Wednesday, June 19th, as I am recording this for you today. I am away from home, and so the audio quality is going to be a little different than what we're used to. Hopefully, it will be okay for this podcast. We are heading into a couple of very interesting transitional days and events. Tomorrow, Thursday, June 20th, is the solstice, the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, and the winter solstice south of the equator. This is one of the big hinges of the year when the sun pauses, stops, dances in the sky for 3 days before changing direction in terms of the amount of daylight we experience. So for me, for us here in the northern hemisphere, the sun will be turning toward less daylight. Down south of the equator, they'll be reaching peak darkness and heading back toward the sun. This is how it works every year. What's unusual is that we are having a full moon the day after the solstice, which means that each blends into the other. The solstice becomes part of the full moon. The full moon is absolutely happening during the solstice. At the same time, we're making a big transition from the sign of Gemini into the sign of Cancer. So let's take a look at what's going on and what we can learn from this transitional time. This year, the June full moon follows closely on the heels of the solstice, which arrives when the sun enters the sign of Cancer, marking days of maximum light north of the equator and maximum dark south of the equator. Solstices mark significant turning points of the year. Ancient monuments in many countries were designed to mark this time when the sun stood still in the sky before shifting orbit to increase or decrease daylight. Stonehenge, Newgrange, Callanish, Karnak, Chaco Canyon, Machu Picchu, and Jantar-Mantar all were built to align with solstices. Cancer, the moon's sign, is associated with gestation and nurturing. If you're familiar with the Thema Mundi, the Hellenistic chart said to mark the birth of our world, you'll see Cancer on the ascendant. In other words, our world emerged into the light, was born and nurtured in the sign of Cancer. In Vedic astrology, Cancer is sometimes seen as the beginning of the zodiacal year. The sun's entry into Cancer marks the coming of the monsoons on the Indian subcontinent, an important source of fertility and growth there. It's a significant time. This year, the solstice transitions into a full moon in Capricorn, bringing the moon into opposition with the solstice sun. Before we dive into the full moon, though, what's happening at the solstice itself? Interesting transitions are happening. The astrology so far this year has featured lots of planets moving through the same sign at the same time in a way that's not typical. Remember the April 8th solar eclipse? That chart had more Aries in it than I've ever seen in one place. Then planets moved together into Taurus. Do we call a group of Taurus planets a herd? The same with Gemini, creating a blooming, buzzing, creative space we've just emerged from. At the solstice, the sun at zero Cancer is accompanied by Mercury and Venus, who both entered Cancer on June 17th. The shift from Gemini into Cancer moves us out of a bright, clever, tricksy, heady space into one in which emotions run deep, and nurturing those most important to us is primary. Gemini asks, is this fun? Is it interesting? Is it different? Cancer asks, are we safe? Do we have enough? Who needs a hug? This year, the transition is marked by a square to Neptune, currently at the very, very end of Pisces. Mercury, Venus, and the Sun each squared Neptune as they entered the final degree of Gemini. By degree, the Sun remains in that square at the solstice and the full moon. Squaring Neptune calls into question all the ideas and information that burst forth in Gemini. Neptune in Pisces asks, is this real? Can we trust it? We may find ourselves questioning decisions we've made, wondering if they're really the best way. The solstice moon is in mid-Sagittarius, moving to square Saturn, also in Pisces. This is an interesting and fruitful place for the moon to be. The moon is strong in the second decan of Sagittarius. Here we encounter forces pulling us in different directions and look for the focus and determination to stay on course. This is exactly what we need as we navigate the transition from Gemini to Cancer. This moon is squaring Saturn. The second decan of Pisces, where we find Saturn, is also a place of reconciling different levels of understanding. In Pisces, the disparity relates to the boundary between ordinary experience and the greater meanings and structures of life. The aim in both decans is the same, to keep to our plan in the face of challenges. The phrase I'm using for this solstice is finding meaning, something Sagittarius loves to do. As we shift from mutable air into cardinal water, what key goals will we hang on to as the energy around us changes? What are our core principles? At the full moon, we find the moon at 1 degree 7 minutes of Capricorn. Instead of squaring Saturn, the moon is now ruled by Saturn. Neptune remains important. At 2954 Pisces, Neptune is out of sign, but still within a degree of squaring the Sun and Moon. We remain in a space of needing to reconcile differences. But now, the Moon is in the very practical sign of cardinal Earth. At the beginning of Capricorn, we've left behind the questing philosophical mind of Sagittarius to enter the body. We need to deal with physical reality now, make sense of it, work with it. Again, an interesting and useful place for the Moon to be. We're making a transition from mind to heart. We need to get real about that. On the world stage, the Neptune square at the Gemini-Cancer transition might show up as misinformation and confusion. Our oversaturated media world can make it almost impossible to know what's actually true. For us individually, we have the opportunity to consider Gemini's ideas, questions, plans, and goals in light of what the heart needs. Modern civilization tends to favor logic. There's a whole belief system structured around the idea that facts are primary, rules are necessary, and feelings are just messy. In fact, and this really is a fact, we can't remember anything we don't have feelings about. The heart-mind connection is also factually real. What if the Neptune square for us personally is asking this exact question? Neptune might say, "So, you have all these bright new ideas, but how do they feel?" Or, "This looks like a nifty plan, but is it equitable? Will the costs of putting it into place be shared fairly?" Or, "Have you talked to everyone involved? How do they feel?" We will experience our own feelings, of course, at this solstice and full moon. The Capricorn moon can help us stay grounded in our bodies if emotions start feeling too intense. In Cancer, though, we're not acting alone. We're acutely aware of the people we care about, how they feel, what they need. We want our core group to be safe, well cared for, healthy, and happy. Perhaps we do that not by setting aside the bright, clever ideas we had with Gemini, but rather testing them against what the heart knows and what the heart needs. Mercury in Cancer is helpful here, bringing the capacity to transcribe emotion into language, which includes music and images as well as words. Venus in Cancer brings emotions into art, collaborating with Mercury to create beauty in forms we can appreciate and enjoy. Mars in Taurus offers a boost with a tight sextile to Mercury, one that Venus and the Sun will move into in the coming days. This connection enhances the practical message of the Capricorn moon while adding Mars's ability to accomplish goals. We're invited into a space where we can get things done in a way that balances and integrates head and heart. At this full moon, with a practical Capricorn moon opposing the Sun, Venus, and Mercury in Cancer, in the presence of a Neptune square and a Mars sextile, we're invited into a space where we can get things done in a way that balances heart and head. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, inviting you to explore what that connection looks like for you. Maybe your chart, your personality, leans more into the headspace. Then you might want to explicitly focus on heart, on emotion. Perhaps your chart is filled with water signs and you naturally lean more into emotional spaces. Then you want to bring in the Gemini that we've just been to and use that to sort out and codify and explore that emotional space. Whatever your combination is, I hope you have a wonderful solstice, a wonderful full moon, and as always, thank you for listening.